As noted in your bulletin, our scripture lesson today comes from Old Testament. From Isaiah chapter 56, the first verse and verse 6 through 8. For the sermon titled, Time is Speeding Up. And we'll talk about that in a minute because I've got some blessings right in the middle of that that I'm anxious to share with you. But let us hear the words laid down by the prophet Isaiah as given to him. I love how 56 starts off. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Down to verse 6, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these will I bring to my holy mountain, and give them joy in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. May God add His blessings to these powerful words. As we look for Him, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Father, set aside our hearts, set aside our labor. Let us not pay attention to what's going on outside of this building. We dwell here now in the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts that we may receive the words that You have prepared. Yours, not mine. That we may know it was good to be here. We may go from here strengthened to face what the week has lying ahead. And be able to give back that which You have given to us. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all of His children said, Amen. Now I know there are many people out there. You've seen the title of the sermon. Time is speeding up. So you already know where I'm going. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who just love to wring their hands and run around. Oh, the end of the world is coming in. And a lot of them good Christians who are not paying attention. How many people in this room hear somebody make that statement? Well, we're living in the end times. How many people have heard that? Well, duh, we've been living in the end times since Jesus came on the earth. Ever since He said after His resurrection, I'm coming back, guess what? We were living in the end. We don't know when that's going to be. But I get a big kick out of this. The other night I was flicking around and I come across some program and somebody with a whole bunch of letters on the backside of his name was talking about, well, the end of the world is near because this prophecy has been fulfilled and this one has been fulfilled and things are getting out of hand and the Lord has said, you don't know when I'm coming, but I'll come like a thief in the night and in a blink of an eye I'll be there and we'll all be gone and the time is coming. I'm thinking, do you read the same book that I do? There are certain prophecies that have to be fulfilled 100% that Jesus Himself even spoke of before He comes back. Yes, He will come back without warning when the time is right. He will come back like a thief in the night and take us home when the time is right. He will return back because He said He would when the time is right. But the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, time is speeding up. If you read the sermon title, this could be your moment to look down and go, oh brother, here it goes. Doom and gloom. Repent, 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 sin no more, repent. You heard about the man that was hired to paint the church, right? He was given money and told, if you can keep anything back with the paint you buy, you can put that in your pocket. And so the man went out and bought 5 gallons of white paint to repaint the church. And he put the rest of the money in his pocket. And he started out with the first gallon. He painted one side. And he knew he was going to run out. So he started thinning out the paint. And he painted this way. And he thinned it out some more. And he painted the whole church on 5 gallons of white paint. Was happy with himself. Looked good. That night come a tremendous thunderstorm. Tremendous rain. And it washed all the paint right off the building. And he was standing there beside himself. And he looked up to the heavens and he said, Lord, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord spoke to him and said, repent and thin no more. I love that joke. This is not that sermon. There ain't a single one of you in this room that don't know that you have to repent, that the time is at hand, that sin will take you straight to hell. I don't need to hammer that point. But I do need to remind you. I do need to remind myself that time is speeding up. Not the physical sense of it. I was born in 1967. September 23rd, to be exact, in case you want to, you know, write that down on your calendar. My birthday's right around the corner. I do accept tractor parts, steam engine parts. 46 years ago. And the amount of things that have happened in 46 years is absolutely amazing if you stop and think about it. That time has sped up that much. 46 years, 1967. My uncle and I were talking this past week. We went to the tractor show up in Kinzer, Pennsylvania. And he was talking about how he graduated school in 1964 and the things that they did in 1964. You couldn't believe. In 1952, Isaac Asimov, in one of his scientific things, wrote about there would be a time come when everybody would be able to go to the computer in their house and find information that they wanted. 1952. But you see, in 1965, in Italy came Programma 101, the first personal computer. 1962. $3,500, and the real good one was $32,000, released in 1965. 1965. Keep that in your mind. I was born in 67. September 23rd. Make sure you write that down. This is 2014. How many people have a computer? A lot of people. Do you know that there are now 2 billion personal computers in use from 1965 to 2014? In all forms, from the desktop to the laptop to now tablets. 2 billion computers. That was once a joke in scientific circles. I remember reading a story that one of the biggest computers ever built by International Business Machines, IBM, took up a city block. It had cooling fans. It had liquid cooling. I mean, this thing was a monster. And it did computations. And the amount of power contained within a computer big as a city block still had less power than your calculator does now. That's 46 years. Time is speeding up. I'll tell you what else stunned me when I started to think about it. Remember, I was born in 1967, September 23rd. In 1973, 2 men, John Mitchell and Dr. Martin Cooper, demonstrated an object that made the entire world laugh. They said it would never happen. Once again, this was something that had been spoken of in science fiction back in the 40s and 50s. But these 2 men, determined to show that it could be done, put forth a unit that weighed 4.5 pounds and displayed it and demonstrated it and showed that it would work. The cell phone. 1973. How many people have cell phones? Yeah. They're not cell phones anymore, are they? This is an iPhone. I only got it because it was free, because I'm that cheap. We got it because my phone broke one time and they said, here, have this thing. This isn't even really a phone anymore. There's a computer on here. Y'all know what's on these things. Computer. That thing you were talking about, Marvin, is amazing. A little dot. 46 years ago, could you believe that you could have tracked your granddaughter across this country every step she took? I think my wife has that dot planted on me somewhere. Because she knows when I'm at the sale, and I think she can see when I'm pulling my wallet out. In 1998, By 1998, cell phones were everywhere, and they started making them so that they could transfer data on the internet. 1998. Now, in 2011, there are close to 7 billion phones in people's hands on this planet. At a point in time when nobody would believe it possible. I remember when I got my first one. I was working for a company, and it came in a bag. You had to plug it in. You had to wind it up, I guess. And the phone was about that big, and you put it on your head, and you leaned over. My point is, we have got to be careful. Allowing ourselves to get caught up in everything surrounding us. Time has not really sped up. I got an amazing fact for you. I just read this week. It is truly an amazing fact about time. Are you ready? 1 minute is still 60 seconds. Is that amazing to you? Time is not speeding up. We are. We're getting faster at things. We're getting more concerned with how much faster we can get everything done. And it gets us into trouble. Do you know that there are even now kosher phones that Jewish Orthodox religious restrictions don't allow people to use phones the way we use it? And so to fulfill this demand, this makes me laugh. Remember, 1973 was the first one. 1998, they started putting the internet on it. And now they make phones that don't have the internet on it, but don't do anything except make a phone call to fulfill kosher demands. We got too fast. We got too far ahead. And yes, time is speeding up. And this all started while I was watching my boys do something the other day. My boys are 11 years old. 11. What happened? 1 minute, I found out we were having twins. The next minute, we had them. The next minute, they're 11. And I was watching them do something that I did when I was their age. And that was simply playing a tree. And I was in a hurry. I had a lot of stuff to do. Time was speeding up. I had to go here. I had to do this. I work a lot. Everybody does. And I stopped for a moment and started watching them play in the tree. And I realized time is speeding up. Isaiah is writing that very quietly underneath of all that scripture. What is he saying in the first verse? Go back to the first verse for a moment. He says, this is what the Lord says. Maintain justice, do what's right, for my salvation is close at hand, and righteousness will soon be revealed. In the very first verse, Isaiah the prophet is writing that time is starting to speed up. Not the physical time, but that things are starting to happen. Things are starting to move in a general direction. As you all well know, I own a steam engine. It is the pride of my fleet of tractors. 1922 50 horse case. Do you know what it takes to fire up a steam engine? It takes time. When I go to steam engine shows, I have to start at 6 o'clock in the morning. You start with a fire that big around and you wait. Then you hear the thing crackle and pop. And the wood catches after a while, and you're in there throwing wood to it. And at some point, you figure, well, it's time to go get a bacon sandwich, because that's what you do. And you come back, and the fire's still burning. 2 hours now. Then all of a sudden, you hear the water in the boiler burning. You hear things start to pop and whistle and crack. The next thing you know, the gauge that hasn't read nothing is now on 20 pounds. You turn around, turn the blowers on, check your water, start shoveling coal, and 5 minutes later you're at 50 pounds, and now you hear the water gurgling inside the boiler. She's getting ready to come to life. 2 hours goes by, and in the last 20 minutes, it's time to go. Steam pressure's up, it's time to get out there and hunt down a belt and get to work. In those 20 minutes, it has happened. All this buildup has built to that point. Time had sped up suddenly, and it was time to work. All the leisure time was gone. Brothers and sisters, we get lost in that moment. We forget to stop and slow down a minute and realize what we have. Isaiah is saying, the time is close at hand. Pay attention to it. I love hearing stories about Sunday afternoons. I love hearing how everybody used to say that when they were younger, on Sunday afternoon, they went to their grandparents' house, or they all gathered at somebody's house, and they had a big meal, and then they sat around under shade trees, the men outside complaining about women, and the women inside cleaning up the kitchen complaining about men. We don't do that no more. We don't. And we have lost something from that. One of the things that we're changing now to gain something back, that we can slow time down and come back to that fellowship that Isaiah is going to lay out a little bit later in his verses, is we're going away from the brunch and going back to having a meal once every other month. Why? So we can sit down and talk to one another. So we can look across the table and say, hey, how you doing? Isaiah writing is warning us that salvation, that the moment is close at hand, that Christ's return is close at hand. And the fact of the matter is, if you go over to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus answered these questions. As they sat around, as they talked, one of the disciples asked him about his return. In verse 30, he said, at the time the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. But if you back up just a little bit, he says, so when you are standing in a holy place, at verse 15, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let those who go into Judea flee to the mountains, for there will be great distress. And at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive the elect, that if it were possible, I would have told you so ahead of time. There is a great prophecy that everybody forgets when they start talking about Christ coming. Everyone has to hear him. Everyone has got to hear of Christ. And I don't mean that you walk up to him and say, you know Jesus? No, I don't. Okay. Well, they just heard about him. No, they didn't. Do you realize that you don't have to go 12,000 miles to minister? That right around the corner, there are still people who do not understand who Jesus Christ was. Right around the corner, within arm's reach. You don't have to go bludgeon them over the head. You don't have to go get in their face. You don't have to go run them down in front of somebody. You just have to walk up to them and minister a little bit. Maybe it's not your time for them to hear, but you've started something. Isaiah, going back to it, says these words. Go back to the sixth verse. And foreigners, guess who the foreigners are? You. Gentiles, all of us. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, and all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant. Stop at that verse for a minute. That means all the Gentiles who have come to know the Lord through Jesus Christ, who have reached out to him to hold on, will be gathered in. Isaiah is saying, don't let time speed up so fast that you forget that. I'm as guilty of it as the next person. My week this week was crazy. It seemed like I'd come home, there were things to do, and the minute I got them things to do, there was something else to do, and the next thing I know, it was time to go to bed and get up and start all over again the next day. I was talking to Denny. Denny was home one day this week. Do you know what I did Saturday? Friday we went to the steam engine show. We left at 4:30 in the morning and came home at 9:30 that night. That's a good day for me. I was around steam engines all day. But on Saturday morning, I got up because my uncle said, hey, we got work to do. Okay, I got up. I was at his shop at 7 o'clock in the morning. We put a tractor back together and made it run. We went down to the sawmill and sawed out two poplar logs because we got to fix the barn floor. We came back up and did some welding on something that was broken. And then we took the head off my 450 loader tractor and went to working on that. And we did all that between 7 and 3 o'clock. That's a good day. But when I got home, I suddenly realized time was speeding up, and so I slowed it down. I sat and listened to my boys. I talked to them. I stopped for a minute and asked for some prayer for those that were hurting. And I began to hear the words of Isaiah make sense. Let's go back to them for a minute. Verse 7. There I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. You understand what he's saying? Come back to the beginning. We need to pray, brothers and sisters. We need to pray to keep things from getting away from us. I got yelled at this week by my wife. I know they find that hard to believe. I thought I had bent a valve, but it turns out I didn't. But I had to work on my loader tractor at home. And so I needed to take the head off. The cylinder head's about that long. It's about that big. It's solid steel. And there was nobody around. I said, well, I know how to do all this stuff. I'll just lift the thing off and throw it off on the loader arm and take it over to the shop and work on it. And so I climbed up on a tractor and I worked at it for a while. And Wendy's standing there the whole time watching me, afraid I'm going to fall down or drop it on myself or a dozen other things. And I picked it up and wrestled it around, got it over and got it off the tractor, put it in the wagon, took it up, put it in the truck, took it to the shop. I was proud of myself. 46 years old, still got the muscle power. She yelled at me the whole time, you need to get somebody down here to help you. I said, woman, go hide thyself. I don't need nobody. I get to my uncle's house, and we're unloading the thing, and he's looking it over. He goes, how'd you get that off that tractor? I said, well, I just took it off. I took everything apart and lifted it off and laid it off to the side. He said, did you take the top line off the tractor? I said, no, I didn't feel like taking all that apart. I just lifted it up and kind of scrunched it underneath and got it out of there. And my uncle, who I love dearly, who's the greatest mechanic I know, looked at me and said, are you stupid? Do you know how bad that thing could have hurt you? Well, I thought, okay. I got in a hurry. That thing could have mashed me five ways to Sunday. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're talking about today. Time speeds up, and sometimes we don't know how to get a hold of it. Do you know how to get a hold of it? Prayer. Isaiah is talking about that. He's explaining to us in these days, in these times, something from thousands of years ago knew that in a space of 46 years, this world would speed up so much that I can pick up that device I just showed you and call another country right now, or find out information, or track a granddaughter, or any number of things, that in those moments, we would get lost in our own selves, and we would forget that the prophet said, the salvation is close at hand, and the righteousness will soon be revealed. Reading on, verse 8. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered. Do you understand what he means? I'm going to continue to gather them into my house because my day is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back soon to pick us up, and we need to be ready, for the hour is close at hand. Amen. That's where it's at. That's what we do well to remind ourselves about. I know that I've been on a kick lately about time speeding up, about making sure you're witnessing, about making sure you're ministering, because it's just that important. You have to talk about it all the time. You have to be around it all the time, else you forget about it. We went to the sawmill Saturday. I hadn't sawed a log in, 9 months to a year. I had not been on that sawmill because we've been so busy. And I got ready to start sawing, and although my uncle was letting his grandson saw for the first time, I was setting logs up and forgot one part of setting a log up, and we almost made a bad cut. And all three of us, well, the grandson doesn't count, but my uncle and I both forgot the same thing. Why? Because we hadn't been doing it. Brothers and sisters, when you allow things to speed up and you forget the most important thing, which is prayer and staying connected for God, it will get away from you. You have to constantly slow down and remind yourself of that. And fellowship. And stay close in prayer. And fellowship. And stay close in prayer. And fellowship. And stay close in prayer. Isaiah says the time is coming that all will be gathered in. And Jesus said, all will then finally know the glory of the Lord and will be ever more sad for those that missed out. You ever talk with somebody on the telephone and they seem to be in a hurry to get off the phone? But you want to talk to them, don't you? My father is a great man. I love him to death. My father is a 70-year-old man who is too busy. Because I love it when I call my father on the phone. Hey, Dad. Hey, I seen this tractor sitting out in the field. All right, well, hurry up. I'm in the middle of milking goats. Hey, Dad. I seen this tractor sitting out in the middle of a field, and I think I may know something about it, but I needed to check your memory banks. All right, well, hurry up. I got supper cooking. He does that all the time. Now I'm paying attention to him because he's old. Don't you tell him I said that. We need to slow down. We need to remind ourselves. You know why I got you up out of them seats again today? It's to say hello. I don't care how long it took. I got told by preachers and some of these guys in these schools I'm teaching, don't do that. Don't let the people get up. Once you get them in the seats, keep them there. Why? Are they going to run away? And I asked that question just like that. I said, do they run out to church or something? He didn't like that comment and made sure I understood that. He goes, no, that's not what I'm trying to tell you. You have to keep order. You have to keep things on time. You have to do everything in order. No, you don't. I want you to talk to you. I want you to remind yourselves, we're going to heaven one day. I want you to slow down for a minute and hold somebody close to you and say, I love you. Because when you do that, it's going to remind you of what Christ did. And when you're reminded of what Christ did, you're going to want to share that with someone else. You're going to want to live that life. You're going to want to do what verse 1 says, maintain justice. And do what is right. I look forward to Brother Charles coming. I got to tell you, I'm as wound up as anybody. And I'll let you in on a little secret. For a couple of days, Brother Charles is staying in my house. I am going to have a lot of fun with him. He loves my big motorcycle. I'm going to put Brother Charles up on some tractors. We're going to have a good time. And we're going to get together and we're going to fellowship, and time is going to slow down for me. I encourage you to come see him. I encourage you to come to the lunch. I encourage you to take that time and slow down and make sure that you're not letting get past what is the most important thing. The salvation of Christ is at hand. When is he coming back? I don't know. Do I know that there are certain signs and prophecies to be fulfilled? Yes, there are. Are they all filled? No. What ones have been? I don't know. As far as I can read, not all of them. But as I've said once, and I'll say it again, there are two raptures. Two. There's the one when one day trumpet's going to sound and we're out of here. There's the one where you leave. And if you haven't slowed down and made sure you've kept yourself right, leaving can be scary. And I don't want it to be. I'm not ready to go to heaven yet. I mean, I am if he calls. That's his choice. I'm kind of like the boy in the classroom when the Sunday school teacher was talking to him and said, all right, man, heaven's such a great place. You know, the streets of gold and the crystal walls and the big buffet table and everything like that. Is everybody ready to go? And all the kids are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And one little kid didn't get up. And the teacher went over words. He said, what's wrong, son? Don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but the way you're talking, I thought we were leaving right now. But you want to be ready. As time speeds up, slow down. God, Paul prayed, "My God who gives me patience, steadiness, encouragement, help me to live in complete harmony with each other. Each with the attitude of Christ toward the other." Romans 15:5. Please slow down and take that moment. I know that time is speeding up and can't be stopped. But we can certainly watch for it and be ready when He calls. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You for reminding us. We thank You for Sunday supper. We thank You for the ability to realize that somebody right around the corner is in pain. They're lost. We thank You for the opportunity to know that we can minister to them. We thank You, Father, for the telephone, for the computer, for the things that make our lives easier, and for the ability to be able to reach out and touch somebody even easier. Father, I pray that we do it. We can't stop what's coming. We can't even really do much to get in the way of it, but we can slow down our own selves and understand that Isaiah was telling us that as the time approaches, more and more will be gathered in. And yes, time will speed up, but we can be alert and watchful and doing our part. As the prophet said, we love the name of the Lord and we love to serve Him. We may be the foreigners to the house of Israel, but we are all the nations that will be gathered in to His house of prayer, and we will all be clothed in righteousness because we love Your name through Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, so much. And we ask that You watch over and bless us through this message and take us from here ready to serve. Maybe slow down just a little bit. In Jesus' precious name, we all gather up and say, amen. If you have a particular need this morning as we prepare to sing the last hymn. that's funny. I love that. I never know what the last hymn is. I've learned, don't mess with the music. She picks it out. I just get up here and preach. And the song always fits. Amen. If you have that particular need, if you need strengthening, the prayer bench is open. If you need anybody to pray with you, come on up here. God bless you.